very big welcome to Now That's What I Call Sport on 98FM.
98FM, Now That's What I Call Sport with Jamie Moore.
Hello there, good morning. You are very welcome to our All-Ireland Football Final special. With that in mind, we've got a bumper two-hour edition of Now That's What I Call Sport. Here's what's coming up between now and 11am on 98FM.
I certainly wouldn't believe that this is the team that's developing. This is the team that's on their game. And we're going to have to be on our game to compete with them in the final.
If you're anywhere near a Kerry panel, you can be sure you have football in you. So the question is just getting it out of them, and that's what they're getting out on the field.
Croke Park is a special place, playing with Dublin, and the opportunity just to play with this team, it's a special group to be a part of.
Yeah, really good time. Nice to, I guess, be there again. Loads to learn, loads to do, but certainly a really good time to be involved.
Dublin are there for a reason. Four in a row, going for five. Not many teams get to go for five in a row, so they deserve all the credit they do.
The well wishes from people and just the general sense of excitement around the place is great.
Look, we found ourselves in a final, and we'll hope for the best.
From any perspective, a Dublin or Kerry perspective, and you'd imagine from a neutral perspective, it's the one everyone's looking for. And I suppose there's so much in this final as well this week. And
but if you're looking, as you put all the players together, you kind of say it's favourite Dublin. I'm just hoping that Kerry might do it by a point.
There's a nervousness amongst people because of the fact, I suppose, that everyone's expecting Dublin to win, and there is something, there's an allure about winning five in a row, and we're all afraid that that's going to seep into the players.
It's going to be a tough ask of Kerry to come up today and to beat the Dubs, you know, a fantastic team, but they're a young team, and you know, they'll need a lot of things to go right for them.
Yes, cannot wait to be at Croke Park. 3:30 throw-in. It's Dublin against Kerry in the All-Ireland Football Final as the Dubs look to make it five in a row. We'll also bring you an exclusive sit-down interview with Ireland legend Mr. Richard Dunn.
Certainly, I miss the Saturday afternoons. I miss playing the games. But the day-to-day training, the travelling, the time away from home and all that stuff, that can keep all that. But yeah, certainly the Saturday 3 o'clock is what you miss, and certainly when the big Irish internationals come around as well, they're the games that you always look forward to. So it'd be great to have the opportunity to be 26 again, to be able to go out and play it.
So let's waste no time and get the show on the road.
It's All-Ireland Football Final Sunday. Cheering on the boys in blue all the way. 98FM's Now That's What I Call Sport.
Now, a very cool little guy called Luke Dixon brings us his Good News Friday on 98FM's Dublin Talks every Friday, where he comes on with his dad, Jeremy, and Adrian Kennedy, and he gives him exactly what's going on in his life. So this week, for example, he started school, but also he's a massive Dubs fan, and he has his own very special message for our boys in blue as the drive for five continues today, and it's very, very cute.
Let's get down to business this Sunday. The drive for five is on. Come on, Dublin, you can do it. I'll be watching the match with my mum and dad. Kerry, you're not taking the summer anywhere. It's staying at home in Dublin. Although I do like the colour of your jersey, because green is my favourite colour. But I'm a true blue this weekend. Up the Dubs.
Up the Dubs. Luke, thanks a million for that, and enjoy the game. And two of the men who will enjoy the game are Kieran Halpin and Nathan Meaney with me in the studio. Good morning, men.
Good morning.
Happy All-Ireland Football Final Sunday.
Yeah, can you smell that, Jamie? Can you smell it?
Is that a winning dressing room or the smell of copper? Is that about six in the morning?
It's
or
a smell
which?
Of five in a row, Jamie. Yeah. I'm going to say
call,
it.
Bold call.
And Kieran's in his Dublin jersey and his Dublin hoodie, and I'm covering the game today for 98FM, right? And we get a message from the people in charge of the press in GAA, say no club or county colours allowed in the press box. Thankfully, you're not in the press box because you're in your sky blue.
In my sky blue, and I had to pay the €90. Gladly, I'd pay €190 to watch my beloved Dubs beat Kerry and lift the Sam Maguire high in the Hogan stand.
Yeah, and Nathan is getting man flu, so you're going to be watching it from 98FM Towers here.
I am indeed. Some of us actually have to work, unlike you two, going to the game.
I'm working at the game.
Work. Yeah. You use that term very loosely, won't we?
Yeah, I'll work on Instagram or something.
Exactly.
Fine, you know?
Well, now every half an hour from around 2:30 on 98FM, you'll hear the reports and the team news and everything about it, and hopefully some interviews with Jim Gavin and the winning players after the game. And Kieran, Jim Gavin has named his starting 15 for this match.
He has, yeah, and there's no changes from the semi-final as the Dubs go for their fifth consecutive All-Ireland title. Keane O'Sullivan is the one who misses out. David Byrne, Johnny Cooper and Michael Fitzsimons, they make up the back line with Jack McCaffrey, James McCarthy and John Small lining out at halfback. Brian Fenton and Michael Darren-McCauley will partner in midfield once again. Meanwhile, the forward unit starts as expected again. All the health warnings come with any Dublin or GAA team these days. These may or may not be the team that actually throws in at 3:30.
Yes, and the Kerry boss Peter Keane has also picked his team.
Yeah, you know, he's opted for one change to his team for the All-Ireland final against Dublin. Gavin White comes in for Shane Enright in what is the only switch from the side that overcame Tyrone 3 weeks ago. Now, there's no room for Jack Barry nor Tommy Walsh amid speculation that they may have been thrust into the lineup. The Kingdom are gunning, of course, for their first All-Ireland title since 2014 and in the process try and prevent my Sky Blues from recording an unprecedented fifth triumph in succession.
Yes, now Nathan, the Sunday newspapers are packed wall to wall with coverage of this game.
They are indeed. The Sun goes with Gimme 5. Paddy Christie says Cluxton is the reason for the Dubs' success. The Irish Mail on Sunday said the Immortals, history beckons for the awesome Dubs, but Kerry won't roll over. And you know I love a good pun. The Sunday Times go with Dubs seek 5, a 5-0 against Kerry. And we all hope they do.
Yes, now let's hear from the managers, Kerry's Peter Keane, in just a second. But first, the Dublin boss, Jim Gavin, has been speaking to our Moira Trasanichelli.
Preparation for a Kerry team that, you know, just have looked consistently good from the moment we met them in the first week in February of this year. You know, they were full of energy, full of running, very determined. In hindsight, you know, it's good that we actually got a good close-up look at them, because they've carried that form all the way through the league and got some very impressive results, both home and away. They've looked very impressive in Munster. You know, looked at the opening part of the game against Cork, you know, 6 attacks, 1-5 on the board. Saw the game against against Clare and Ennis. Again, looked very accomplished in difficult conditions, and Clare, tough team to play against in Ennis, their home ground. Into the quarterfinal series, I think Donegal asked them a lot of serious questions. Yeah, they drew with them in Croke Park, but Kerry looked very impressive that day. Mayo, again, 19 attacks opened up that game, 15 scores. And a whole range of scores as well. And then their last game, the semi-final against Tyrone, being 4 points down at half-time against a really experienced and skillful Tyrone team. We know them very well, with an, you know, an outstanding manager, Mickey Hart, looking after them. And yet Kerry turned that game around, looked very accomplished, and finished with aplomb in the second half. And so I certainly wouldn't believe that this is a team that's developing. This is a team that's on their game, and we're going to have to be on our game to compete with them in the final.
Kerry being an underdog, that's not something we're used to.
Maybe you're not used to it. You know, I suppose at the end of the day, if you're going to play a game, you happen to be up against a team that are going for 5 in a row. They were probably unlucky in the semi-final in 14. They could be going for 6 in a row. So look, it is what it is.
Well, now we're in Kerry now. They're delighted to be back in the final. The first time they're going to feel like in millenniums. There's so much pressure here in this county, which is great in one sense because they're used to excellence and they expect excellence.
I wouldn't say there's pressure here, Mara Trasa. I think the Kerry fans are very, very knowledgeable. They get behind the team. I know there was a small crowd in Croke Park last Sunday, and this has been well documented, the 34,000 people. But from our perspective, I think the Kerry support was very, very big on the day. I think there was about 12,000 Kerry people there, and that's probably as big as it's going to be. And you know, when the pressure was on there in the second half, that by God they were behind the team as they have been throughout the year.
If I was to ask you to use one word to describe this team, and let's not use a word like young or inexperienced, how would you describe them?
I don't know. I suppose there's a great energy about the team, and there's a passion about them, and there's a high intensity of work rate within them.
Does that come from you? Does it come from them? Is it a collective?
Oh, sure, it comes from them, of course. Sure. Look, we're only helping them along the way. These guys, they're playing for Kerry. If you're anywhere near a Kerry panel, you can be sure you have football in you. So the question is just getting it out of them, and that's what they're getting out on the field.
Yeah, that is the goal, Jeremy.
98 FM's Now That's What I Call Sport, All-Ireland Football Final Special.
Nathan, we have new All-Ireland football final sweepers for the show, and I didn't know one was about to play. I nearly interrupted it, so sorry about that. Pat Gill, our imaging manager, has spent the weekend making those and me talking over them, so I'm sorry about that. I'll be in big trouble.
You will be in big trouble. I know you certainly will be telling Pat as well, because he puts a lot of effort into that.
He's so actually listening.
So inconsiderate of you, Jamie.
Sorry. Now, our Twitter hashtag is hashtag NowSport98FM, and Connor Mulhall wants to know, how can he listen on the road trip up? Well, I've just sent him a link at 98FM.com/listen live, and also P1916 on Twitter says, Jamie, you should be on every Sunday for 2 hours. Love the show. So yeah, if our bosses are listening, they might, apart from my mistake there, they might actually give us 2 hours every week. Wouldn't that be great?
I saw you going into the toilet just briefly there. Did you make a fake Twitter account?
I did, yeah, but I didn't make a fake phone number, because our text number on WhatsApp is 0877 98 98 98. Up the Dubs, woohoo. I'll be watching it in my local. Any chance of playing Blue by Eiffel 65? That's from David in Kingswood. Well, possibly after 11, but not now, because we're not playing much music. We have too many interviews to do. But yes, if you would like to send us a text or a WhatsApp voice note to wish the Dubs luck, or Kerry, if you're a Kerry person. I was staying in the Green Isle Hotel last night, and it was packed with people from Kerry watching the Premier League last night and having a few drinks and getting ready for the game. So yes, Kerry is going to descend on Dublin today as well. So that number on text or WhatsApp voice note is 0877 98 98 98, and you can really just sense the excitement around Dublin already today. Now it's time to hear from some players. We're going to hear from Dublin's Paddy Andrews now, and in a few minutes time then, three players from Kerry. Match day for you guys, when you're on the way, when you're on the bus, when you leave the Gibson, when you're on the way, what's that experience like when you can see like thousands of people in that sky blue coming to cheer you on?
Yeah, it is a big help, you know, coming by Fairview Park there and things like that. It does give you a little booster. It's great that the supporters we have to follow us all over the country, you know, so we're very privileged to have that support. And you have to remember, all of us were fans first and foremost as well. We started playing the game because we love it. And you see, down in summer camps over the last couple of weeks or throughout schools, young people looking up to you, and that's what the GAA is ultimately about. You know, it's the next generation. Can you inspire them and things like that? And it's been a great couple of years for Dublin, and I'm sure our supporters have enjoyed that as well. But like I say, our job is to try and perform and hopefully give them another big day. But yeah, look, it's great to see, especially when you see young people coming out supporting the Dubs. You know, that's what it's all about.
Yeah, and every time I see you guys on the parade, particularly when Croke Park is full, up in the press box, it's an unbelievable view. And you know, for us as reporters getting to see all the games from up there, but for you guys actually when you're doing it and you're minutes from a massive match like that and the place is full, the hill is screaming at you, what's that experience like? You've had it a lot and you're going to have it again in the final.
Well, you know what, I think we're actually quite good at probably blocking that out during the game, so there's no harm. Obviously, like I said, when you're on the way to the game, you're kind of looking out the bus windows and you can see the supporters, but when you're out on the pitch, you're pretty focused on what you have to do. You don't have time to be getting distracted with what's going on in the stands or with the crowd and things like that. And I think probably the number of years we have and the experience we have of doing that, that allows us to do that. You know, we're quite comfortable in what we're doing. So, like, whether it's a full house or not, you kind of just, you're focused on your job and how you can help the team and how you can perform. And it's going to be loud, but we'll be very focused on just trying to do our job and get the best performance we can.
This doesn't sound like a strange question, but, you know, given how big these games are, do you enjoy them? Do you enjoy, you know, the build up, the match itself, or is it only when you win do you actually have a moment to go, do you know what, I've actually enjoyed this? Because I'm sure there has to be, you know, some sort of a feeling of nerves or excitement in your tummy that you're, you know, you're heading into the game.
No, look, there are nerves. There, even now, you know, I think this is my 11th year playing, you do still get nervous. But the games themselves are, that's what you do it for. I mean, you train for 9 months a year. I don't love training a lot. You do it for the games and that experience. I mean, like you say, Croke Park is a special place, playing with Dublin, and the opportunity just to play with this team, it's a special group to be a part of. So any opportunity you get, you do enjoy it. Yeah, of course that there's nerves and things like that, and post game, you know, if it's gone well, it's probably nearly relief more than anything. And it, if you lose a big game, you know, it's heartbreak. But that's just, I suppose, the emotion of sport and things like that. But it is a special feeling. It's a privilege to represent this team and to represent the county and be part of this group. So yeah, you do enjoy it, but it's not without its challenges as well.
How do you handle, you know, the hunt for tickets, your phone going mental, everybody who sees you in the street wanting to have a chat with you as well? Because, you know, we've seen up to the semi-final the amount of Dublin fans that didn't get tickets, and it'll be the same for this. How do you handle all of that, and do you have someone in your family who feels all of your ticket requests for you and stuff?
People are obviously, you have lots of friends and things, people in work and things like that that are looking for tickets. Everyone wants to go to the game because it's such a special occasion and things like that, but we only get a certain amount. Yeah, there's times you may feel like you're kind of letting people down, but by not being able to give them a dig out. But no, it's part of it. And again, the more you do it and the more experience you have in it, you just kind of get on with it. And look, you try and help out anyone you can. But say the focus is players. We've a job to do, and that's going to be the main priority.
Sorry. You're on there. That's what I call sport on 98FM. It's our All-Ireland Football Final Special with Jamie Moore here. That was Dublin's Paddy Andrews speaking to myself at the Dublin Media Day at Parnell Park recently. Now we're going to hear from the Kerry View and players Gavin White, Sean O'Shea and Paul Murphy with our Mora Trasany Kelly.
Dublin are there for a reason. Four in a row, going for five. Not many teams get to go for five in a row, so they deserve all the credit they do. The way they play is absolutely brilliant, and they deserve everything that they get at the moment. But I suppose, from our point of view, a lot of us are playing in our first All-Ireland Senior Final. It's not every day you're going to be in the All-Ireland Final. We might never be there again, so we're going to grab with both hands and get that medal as much as we can. So we're really looking forward to it.
We're looking forward to the All-Ireland Football Final. I'm in the Kingdom and I'm joined by one of the stories of the summer, Sean O'Shea. You've been having a great summer and I'm sure you probably want to keep it going for a little bit longer at least.
Yeah, I suppose we've been going well enough now so far and we're happy where we are, so hopefully, one more step to go, so we're looking forward to it.
Because you are so young and you guys have done so well, and let's be fair, lots of people didn't expect you to do so well. You've surpassed expectations everywhere in the country, except of course Kerry, because in Kerry, Sam Maguire should be here every year.
Yeah, I suppose that's the way it is down here, but Harry wouldn't want it any other way either. Our fans have been absolutely unbelievable this year, even from the first game we had this year inside in the stadium against Tyrone. They really got behind us, and even you can feel it there in the street when you're walking around your hometown and stuff. The well wishes from people and just the general sense of excitement around the place is great.
What kind of game do you think it's going to be?
Yeah, I suppose it's hard to know. I suppose the fans watching them would hope it would be a lovely free-flowing game, but I don't know, you can't always guarantee that. But our luck, the way we've been playing all year, we look to go out and play football the way we feel it should be played down here anyway. So.
I'm joined by Paul Murphy. Obviously all the talks about Dublin's drive for five, but you're saying they're not going to do it.
Yeah, Dublin are going for five in a row, which is an incredible position to be in, but we're trying to win one, and that's all we'll be worrying about.
I was just saying to Sean O'Shea earlier, you know, at the start of the year, there's not many who would have predicted that Kerry would have been the final, because new manager, a lot of new players, new blood. You've surpassed a lot of pundits and experts' expectations, but you know, this is Kerry.
Yeah, probably for Kerry people, rightly or wrongly, there's probably an expectation that we should be challenging for all Ireland all the time, which, you know, it's not always realistic, but that's probably the standard you're held to down here. Within our own group, we maybe weren't sure where we stood at the start of the year. As you said, new management team and a lot of new players, not just in this year but in the last couple of years, there's been a big turnover of players, but we started taking it game by game during the league and championship, and we found ourselves in a final, and we'll continue the approach we've had. We'll focus on this game like we have any other game, and we'll hope for the best.
Yeah, the voices of Kerry players Paul Murphy, Sean O'Shea and Gavin White speaking to Mora Trasny Caligal. Very excited ahead of today's All-Ireland Football Final, Dublin against Kerry, which throws in at Croke Park at 3:30. We'll have updates across the afternoon here on 98FM. Now still to come, we'll round up the rest of what's going on this weekend, including Ireland's Rugby World Cup warm-up win in Wales and a big victory for Shamrock Rovers in the League of Ireland. Plus later in the hour, Kerry legend Aidan O'Mahony and former Dub Mossy Quinn will be here too. And remember, we're on till 11, so stay with us for All-Ireland Football Final Special as we continue next on 98.
98FM's Now That's What I Call Sport with the Liverpool Football Club Store, ILAC Centre. We are Liverpool. This means more. 98FM.
Now we're about to go behind enemy lines on 98FM and talk to Paddy Power GAA Ambassador and Paddy Power News Columnist Kerry man Aidan O'Mahony ahead of the All-Ireland Football Final against Dublin later on. 5 All-Irelands, 3 National Football League titles, 10 Munster Championships, a Senior County Championship, a Senior Club County Championship, Under-21, Intermediate, 2 All-Stars and a winner of Dancing with the Stars. Aidan O'Mahony, welcome to 98FM. How are you?
Very good, Jamie. How are you?
Aidan, what's the mood like in the Kerry Kingdom ahead of the big game, and do things just go absolutely mental in the week and weeks leading up to the All-Ireland Final?
Yeah, I suppose down here there's great hype. Look, I know from playing myself when you're a player, you kind of
close yourself off to the outside world and you try to avoid any distractions. But I suppose being a supporter now, like, it is fantastic. There's massive colour down here. You know, there's great expectation as well. Obviously, look, I suppose if you're looking, the pressure probably is on Dublin. Like, they're going for five in a row. Some Kerry, it's a young side, it's a new management team. You know, there's not that big expectation or pressure on them going into the game. And, you know, which is a good thing as well. Like, but look, it's a great All-Ireland final. Look, Kerry and Dublin, All-Ireland final. Dublin going for five in a row. I suppose last year's Kerry guys going for their first All-Ireland. You know, you had the hallmarks of one of the greatest games of all time.
Aidan, for the players now with social media and smartphones and, you know, access to everything literally at your fingertips in your pocket, is it very difficult for players now to stay away from the hype and stay away from WhatsApp groups and Instagram? And, you know, I'm sure they can turn off their Twitter for a while, but certainly if they have their smartphone in their pocket, it's very possible someone or something will make it into their head.
Yeah, I think so, yeah. I think back in our time, all you had to avoid, I suppose, the weekend of the game was the newspapers or the radio. And when you got into the train on a Saturday, got to another and find, like, you're in a group on your own. And I thought the outside world, you're totally shut off in, like, because when you're in that group and you're on the way to Dublin saying another and find, your focus is just on that game. But I suppose nowadays it's different because, as you said, look, social media plays a massive part in, I suppose, a lot of people's lives. And, you know, people are being tagged in things. And I think some players actually don't mind this. I think some players kind of have that lucky go about them that they just kind of, they're happy to go through their phone, see what's being said about them. They might use it as motivation then as well. For me, I wouldn't be in the favour of it. I just think that, like, when you're busy up for another and fine, you just want to be, I suppose, in your own group or your own family group, and you want to stay away from the whole hype, because one thing, the game is a distraction, and then the second thing is the tickets. Is just, like, I know myself, my friend is on the Saturday morning, you get a text saying, look, I know this is very probably rude now or something, but any chance you might have a spare ticket there, and you're looking to get a final final sentence. Jesus Christ, hold on here now. This guy's looking for a ticket here to get a final final. Like, but, you know, you're all that in the background as well. Like, so there's a lot going on, but I think now players are well more tuned in as well, like a new sports psychology and sports psychologists, and, you know, they're well geared up for all these things that can come at them as well.
And Aidan, you spoke about the tickets and the hunt for tickets and also the crowds and the fans and the people around Croke Park on the day, and, you know, it's been well documented about the size of the crowd for the semi-final that Kerry were involved in a few weeks ago, and that's gone now. And, you know, listening to Peter Keane, who we heard from on the show earlier on, he was saying he expects a massive Kerry support to travel to Dublin for this game. And again, there's great stories in that, different people, grandparents and parents and grandchildren, and, you know, three or four different generations of families coming up on the train or the bus or driving up and finding a parking space and finding their seat and wearing their green and gold and cheering Kerry on. And that's something I'm sure the players look up from the pitch, and you've done it yourself, and you see the huge numbers of jerseys there to support you, and, you know, the effort they've made to get there.
It is, yeah, and I can, it's an expensive weekend as well, like, because, look, I suppose the last couple of weeks was the ticket price, like, you know, you're paying €90 and you're trying to, I know myself, I have $200 at home, and you'd be kind of saying, look, would you bring your kids, and you're talking about paying €300 or €400 before you actually go up to the game in a train, like, the poor Kerry people know that we are. But, you know, like, it is, and I want to say there about the tradition, I think it goes back to the 60s and the 70s and the 80s, the Kerry-Dublin rivalry there. You know, they're the ones we grew up watching, the Kerry Golden Years for us, and same with Dublin above. You know, and so, like, the colour that goes into this, and the Dublin, they bring fantastic support as well, like, that massive support. They obviously take over the hill, and I remember, in the year we used to play Dublin in semi-finals and finals, you'd go around the corner of the canal and you'd face up until 16. Now, I was always good because you'd be watching the Dubs going down Saturday, like, and the beauty about being a player is that they can't cross in over the white line, so it's just you and around, like, but, you know, they're very special days, and as you say, like, the build-up to them, the colour, like, the tradition, it goes back for years, and the families and people meeting up, and, you know, the great thing about that spectacle is that no one else has it in the world where both supporters will meet in the Saturday night. You'll have this various events, and, you know, when the game is done and settled, you know, it goes back, everyone goes home, and it'll be about 20-20 then, like, so that's just the beauty of the year.
Aidan, lastly, prediction time, please. Who's going to win?
I think, look, it's a tough game for Kerry. I think all the hype and all the talk from, I suppose, the last week has been about Dublin and the five in a row, and, you know, if you're looking, if you put all the cards together, you kind of say it's favoured Dublin, but I'm just hoping that Kerry might do it by a point.
Great stuff. Aidan O'Mahony, who is a Paddy Power GAA ambassador and also a columnist with Paddy Power News, which is news.paddypower.com. Aidan, thanks a million. Enjoy the game. I will speak to you again. Cheers.
You too, Jimmy. Thank you.
This is 98FM's Now That's What I Call Sport All-Ireland Football Final Special with Jamie Moore.
Yeah, continuing our build-up to the All-Ireland Football Final later on between Dublin and Kerry, and we're here with former Dub, Tomás Quinn. Mossy, welcome back to 98FM again. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are
working
you?
Of course. I'm great, thanks. Working, of course, as well, full-time for the Dubs as their commercial and marketing manager, and also here with Electric Ireland GAA as the Minor Star Awards for 2019. Continuing, Tomás Quinn highlights the importance of pre-game ritual for minor players, encouraging fans to be a part of the championship haircut, which returns to Croke Park for the Electric Ireland GAA All-Ireland Minor Football Final. Yeah, the hashtag for this is hashtag GAA. This is major, and the minor finals at 1 o'clock. It's Cork against Galway, and just before the main one, Mossy, and you're here with Electric Ireland for the Minor Star Award. So just a word on the younger game before the bigger game, I suppose.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Look, I think one of the things when you look at the minor matches, I think it's probably a little bit more traditional. It's very much out. It's open attacking football. It's more man on man. There's a lot more kick pass, and I don't think it doesn't seem to have got as in depth in terms of it's the senior game, in terms of getting bodies behind the ball or trying to transition, you know, up and down the pitch. So I think from that side of things, they're always entertaining matches. And I think the big story this year was, you know, Kerry's been so dominant at this age group in the last couple of years, and they won Munster, they beat Cork along the way, but as it's transpired, Galway pipped them in the semi final by a point, and it was a really impressive Galway performance, very strong defensive performance from Galway. And then Cork have come through and they beat a very impressive Mayo team in the semi-final, so it's set up for a really good final, and I'm expecting Cork put up big scores on their way this year, and I'm looking forward to it. I think it's a game worth getting in early for.
Yeah, that game is at 1 o'clock, and the main game, the main final, Dublin against Kerry, is a 3:30 throw-in. Is this the dream All-Ireland football final?
I think so, yeah, it has to be. Like, I think when you look at it from any perspective, a Dublin or Kerry perspective, and you'd imagine from a neutral perspective, it's the one everyone's looking for. And I suppose there's so much in this final as well this week, and you've seen the build up until today, and it's one of those ones where it's kind of taken off in the last few days, and I think everyone's ready for it to happen.
Have you been surprised by how well Dublin have done since then? Like, you retired in 2012, and we have, you know, the Brian Fentons, and, you know, most recently the likes of Conor Callaghan, who's just become a superstar almost overnight in this team that's chasing their fifth in a row. Have you been surprised at how good they've been under Jim Gavin?
I think everyone's probably surprised with the level of success, in the sense of they're obviously going for five All-Irelands in a row now, and I think the fact that it took us so long to get over the line in 2011, obviously got beaten by Mayo in 2012, and I think since Jim has come in, there's obviously been a level of consistency, and it's coincided with a lot of these younger guys coming in, and so I think anyone who says they're not surprised, like, we're blessed to be in this position as Dublin GAA people. You know, I think it's one of those, sometimes you nearly have to pinch yourself and remind yourself that it took us a long time, and we suffered a lot of tough days in the noughties, and it's something that I don't think anyone takes for granted now, or they certainly shouldn't. And I think it's a testament to a lot of the, again, I mentioned some of the guys, but even the culture within the team, and the focus within the team, that every year they can reset themselves, and it's very much a new year. And sometimes that's not the stuff that people want to hear. When you hear them talking about one game at a time or one year at a time, they genuinely do believe that that's where they keep their head, and it can be a very hard thing to do, but I think that's why they've had the success they've had. So when you do have a guy like Brian Fenton comes in, and like at my last year would have been Jack McCaffrey and Kieran Kilkenny's first year, and I saw guys like that up close in the first hand. You could see what was coming, and then obviously the guys like Fento and Paul Mannion and Conn, and these guys are coming in to supplement it. So it's been a great few years.
Yeah, we had Michael Darmacaulay on the show last week, and I asked him if he hated the number five, because we're all talking about it and we're bigging it up five in a row, and he laughed and he said, I actually don't hate it. I hear number five every day, 10 times a day, in phone numbers, in addresses, in whatever it might be. And he said, I don't hate it, I embrace it. But everybody, including Jim, they don't want to talk about it. But they're thinking about it. They have to want to make this history, don't they? Will it be mentioned in the dressing room? I'm sure if you were a current player, you'd say no, but surely it has to be on their minds.
Yeah, they're not human if it's not. They're obviously all very aware of it. They're obviously aware people they interact with on a daily basis are talking to them about it. So look, there's no doubt it's within their, like, they're very, very aware of it, and it's something they have to deal with. But I honestly don't think it'll be mentioned in the dressing room. I honestly don't think it'll be something that is, like, in the back of some of their minds, it'll be driving them, in the sense that, yes, it'd be great to be a part of it. But ultimately, if you went down forensically through everyone on the squad, there's a couple of guys that are 2 years in the squad, there's a couple of guys that were there for the first bit. So ultimately, when history writes itself and we look back in 20 years' time, the five in a row, there'll probably only be a handful that could say, well, I was there for all five. But is that going to take away from a Paul Flynn, who technically won't be there if they, things go well today, you know. So I think it's one of those things. Sometimes on the outside, it's a really good story. The fact that it's never been done before, and it should be covered. But I think when you're within that group, I genuinely don't think it will be an issue for them to stay away from it as much as people think. And I don't think it'll be something that'll be referenced. And look, if things go well today and they produce the performance and they get over the line, it'll obviously be celebrated, and then they can talk about it a little bit. But I don't think it's not a primary driving factor for them.
A romantic view of five in a row, and it'd be great at 5:15 tonight if that has happened. But the people from Kerry want to stop that happening, and they're a massive threat to this, and they don't care about 5 in a row either. You know, they just want to win in on Ireland, and they've a new manager and a younger squad, and their fans coming up the road today on the train or however else they're getting up. They're a massive threat to this Dublin team, and stopping the Dubs winning this match, and as a result, and by extension, the 5.
Absolutely no doubt they are a huge threat, and I think, to be honest, it's been something I've been looking at since the start of the year. You go back to that league game where they beat Dublin down in Tralee, and the manner in which they held on, it was a spiky enough finish as well. There was a little bit of a scuffle at the end of the game, and you could see they kind of got under a couple of the Dublin lads' skin, and I think Kerry will take a lot of confidence from that. They've had a really good championship win in Munster, and then if you look at the Super 8s, I think there's been question marks over whether the benefits of the Super 8s. I think Kerry this year, really strong performance against Mayo, probably one of the best performances of the championship, and then getting to go toe to toe with Donegal for 72 minutes in Croke Park, finish the draw. I think those games will really stand to them, and I think they're actually in a really good spot coming in. And I think there's an onus on Dublin to try and set the tone early. I think Dublin haven't started too many games recently very well. I think the first half against Mayo is testament to that, and I think if Dublin have a first half performance similar, they're going to be under pressure, because Kerry are good enough to go for the juggler. They'll get goals, and they'd find themselves in a far bigger deficit than they did the last day. So I think Dublin are going to have to go after it early on and try and get a foothold and try and really, really take the game to Kerry and see how they react.
Who's going to win?
Look, I think I'm not going to sit here and say anyone other than Dublin. I do believe Dublin are going to come out on top, but I think it is going to be their toughest game in a long time. I think it is going to come down to the last couple of minutes, and as it has done over the last couple of years, I think the Dublin bench is going to make a big difference. I think it's going to have to. I think they're going to need all 21 guys to come in if they're going to get over the line.
Tomás Quinn with Electric Ireland, thanks a million. Enjoy the game.
Thanks, Jamie. Come on.
Still to come on our 2-hour All-Ireland football final special here on 98FM. Senan Connell, Tomás O'Shea, Johnny Cooper and Charlie Redmond will be here very shortly. We're back in a sec.
98FM. Now that's what I call sport. It's All-Ireland football final Sunday. Cheering on the boys in blue all the way. 98FM. Now that's what I call sport.
Yeah, we're going to have Dubs legend Senan Connell and Charlie Redmond along very soon. Plus, we'll go behind enemy lines again and talk to a Kerry man who's won lots of All-Ireland's, Tomás O'Shea, and Dublin player Johnny Cooper will tell us what's on his playlist in his headphones on the way to these big Dublin games. Loads of great wishes coming in on WhatsApp and text for the Dubs. One here says, good morning, Jamie. I'm tuning in as always, especially today, for a 2-hour brilliant show on the Dubs. Come on, you boys in blue. My nerves are totally gone. And that's from Rona. And Kieran, you are in your Dubs jersey still. You'll be heading off to Croker as soon as we finish here at 11 o'clock. Are you nervous? How are you feeling? Because I'm feeling very confident.
I am actually nervous, I'm not going to lie to you. I'm confident enough that, you know, Dublin will get over the line eventually, but I think it's going to be a very, very tight game. I think we're going to do it, though, by 1 or 2 points. This Kerry team, none of them, 17 of the squad, excuse me, have never won an All-Ireland, been an All-Ireland final. This Dublin team have multiple medals between them. I don't think they're going to be talking about the 5 at all. It's just going to be another All-Ireland final, and I do think the Dubs are going to go across the line. We will need a full Croke Park cheering on the Dubs. Going to be about 12,000 Kerry fans there. We should outnumber the Kerry fans. I know they travel for the final. Hill 16 needs to be blue, and it needs to cheer on the boys in blue today to victory.
Yeah, and for the next 40 minutes on That's What I Call Sport, on our 2-hour All-Ireland football final special, wall-to-wall coverage on Dublin against Kerry, with former Dubs Senan Connell, ex-Kerry man Tomás O'Shea, Dublin Currents player Johnny Cooper, and the man who won the All-Ireland for the Dubs all the way back in 1995, and our resident football expert here, Charlie Redmond. They'll all be with us very shortly here on 98FM.
98FM. Now That's What I Call Sport. Final special.
You're on the That's What I Call Sport on 98FM. It's Jamie Moore here on Sunday morning. It's All-Ireland Football Final Sunday, getting ready for Dublin against Kerry. 3:30 throw-in at Croke Park. And we're here with thanks to Benetti Menswear, with Tomás O'Shea, former Kerry footballer. I suppose, firstly, just give us your overall thoughts on the day ahead and what to expect.
Yeah, well, I suppose, look, it's going to be a tough ask of Kerry to come up today and to beat the Dubs. You know, a fantastic team, but they're a young team and, you know, they'll need a lot of things to go right for them. But if they can get there for the last 10 minutes, I'd give them a chance. But there's a lot of stumbling blocks they have to get over. There's a lot of experience in this Dublin team. There's a lot of big men who can carry the team throughout the day. So it's going to be a really tough ask for Kerry, but you'd still be hopeful.
Former Dub, Senan Connell is here as well. Sending your opening thoughts on the day ahead?
Yeah, well, I suppose, first of all, there's now mass hysteria around the city as well, and that's it's sort of a quiet enough lead-in. I know there's a good run on tickets, Jamie, for today's match. But, I mean, there's a nervousness amongst people because of the fact, I suppose, that everyone's expecting Dublin to win, and there is something, there's an allure about winning five in a row, and we're all afraid that that's going to seep into the players. If what comes to pass, as Tomás has said, a carrier in the game with 10 minutes to go, is that going to affect them? So, look, there's so many subplots and sub-stories in terms of matchups and personnel and tactics and what the line is going to do, and even what the subs are going to be. Like, we don't know what the Dublin 17, we know Evan Cumber is going to be the sub-keeper. We don't know what 17 to 26 is going to be, you know, whether Bernard Brogan's going to be in, is Bugler going to be there, and Owen O'Garner. So there's so many subplots there just to look forward to that it makes for an interesting game. And plus, it's Dublin Kerry, and that has the allure. I don't think, if, you know, with all due respect to everybody else, if it had been anybody else, it mightn't have the allure and the appeal that this game has, you know, and just that subplot then, obviously, of Dublin going for the five in a row and trying to put to bed, I suppose, the two Kerry teams that did a four in a row in the past, you know.
Yeah, and of course, the teams that have been named are unlikely to be the ones that actually start the match as well later on at half three. Tomás, if I was asked you to describe your memories of Dublin v Kerry and the games you played and the games you've watched, the games you've seen, even when you were growing up, what type of things would come to your mind?
Oh, well, I suppose Heffo and Mick O'Dwyer would be the first, the 70s and the 80s. They had a great rivalry, and I think that's what kicked it off. You had the Colchis coming up to the city and the Dubs above, and the atmosphere you'd have and the crack you'd have and the banter between the supporters before the game, and two brilliant teams in the 70s. And I grew up watching those teams, and Brian Mullins and David Hickey and Tony Hannu, all of them. Paddy Cullen, I could name the whole lot of them. They were outstanding, and I think that's what sowed the seed. They met each other for 5, 6, 7, 8 years in a row. Then they went and met each other in 84 and 85, and you know, that's what set down the rivalry. And we continued on, and we played against Senan in 2001 in Thurles, and that was another epic. There was a drawn game there, and any time that Kerry played Dublin, there's an atmosphere, and you know, you're guaranteed of an unbelievable crowd. You're guaranteed of a great game of football. And you know, you have two teams, especially the Dublin team, going for history, and it's just a massive game, because you know, Kerry obviously 82 hurt them so bad, not getting to the five in a row. The Dubs are going for it now. If it was one team that were going to do it outside of Kerry, I'd probably go for the Dubs because of the tradition they have, and you know, the relationship we'd have with them. And it's no disrespect to anybody else in the country, but there's something special between the Dubs and Kerry.
Send it for you.
Yeah, the same. To resemble everything Tomás has said, it's there's a massive respect, I think, between the players. Even in the years that we played against Kerry, and Kerry came out on top, they were such a brilliant team in the noughties, and even before that, to get all them All-Irelands. And you know, when I would have marked Tomás in games in Croke Park and in Thurles and that, and there was something about that Kerry jersey when they came out to play. They were the aristocrats. They were just a class team, numbers 1 to 15, and you knew it was always something different. When it was Dublin and Kerry, it set something different inside you. To try and get out of your province was the difficulty, and then to get to meet these lads and play against them just added a different little bit. And there's so many stories going back in history, and what Tomás has said, come back to the 70s there, like, you look at fellas, God rest Anton O'Toole, that died this year, you know, with the All-Irelands in his pocket, and how the Dublin community came out behind him. And I met Mikey Sheehy yesterday, like Kerry royalty with All-Irelands, and it's something inside you as a boy looking at these fellas playing in Croke Park. You never leave it, your boyhood heroes, and then to meet them and see them. They were just GAA royalty, those teams in the 70s, and they left a legacy. And we were the living legacy, and this team is the living legacy of them, that it has just sustained right up until today. And it just means that tomorrow is a different game, and I think both teams know that, not because of what at stake, but also because what is at stake. You know, it's just too big for both teams, you know.
Yeah, and you guys have spoken there about playing against each other and marking each other and those battles, and you can sit here now years later and you know, have a chat and have a coffee and have a pint and remember it. But you know, if we look at the players who are going to be on the pitch at half three today and the key battles, and you know, each player will think, I'm going to win the battle or you're going to win the battle. What are the keys to that in terms of those individual ones, and the managers will give their teams and their players game plans on, you mark him, or you have to do this, or you have to make that run? But it's those key individual battles that, you know, you guys have had, that, you know, the guys playing today will be similar.
Yeah, well, I think we won't know until we see later on today who the key battles are. There's obviously two sets of dangerous forwards there. So, you know, you have Conor Callaghan, Mannion and Kilkenny will be the three main guys that will threaten Kerry. And who's going to pick them up? Would it be Jason Foley, Morley, Paul Murphy? I'm not sure who'll man who. Tom Sullivan will be the key guy. And do you put him out in the half-back line against Kilkenny, or do you put him inside in the full back line and take away from his attacking threat? So there's a lot of questions, and we can guess, you can make an argument for everything. On the other side, you have the Kerry forwards, and who are they going to man up on Gainey, on Clifford and Sean O'Shea, on Stephen O'Brien? So I think as well, also, what do they do at midfield? Adrian Spillane is named. Are they going to start Adrian Spillane? Are they going to bring in Jack Barry? I don't think that Kerry team they've named is going to be the one that starts. Likewise, probably Dublin might make a change or two as well. But another big one then would be the Tommy Welsh scenario. Do you start him? Don't you start him? And every argument you listen to start him, it's actually good. And you say, geez, yeah, they might should start him. But I would still lean towards probably, I do not know fully, is Tommy at the level required? And yes, he did very well against Tyrone, and yes, he changed the game, and yes, he brought Clifford and Gainey into it, but it's a different kettle of fish going in against these Dublin lads. And if it is a case that he starts and it goes pear shaped for him, I'd worry then for long term during that game. So I think he could have an impact on Kerry long term, and I wouldn't start him. But there's so many battles all over them. We haven't even spoken about the goalies. I think the two goalies are huge as well, so an amount of key battles, and you could be talking about it all day, to be honest with you.
Yeah, and you know, we hear all the time saying, you know, the players use different ways to motivate themselves for that individual key battle, but also they're involved in, you know, a collective in a 15, and they need to be able to separate the 1v1 to the group.
Yeah, I think the modern players sort of craves information, you know, and we'll see the backroom staff will pore over videos ad nauseum to try and give as much information they can for their actual direct marker. But you mentioned the collective there as well, and if we can flip that on its head, not talking about Dublin, talking about Kerry, I think Kerry will probably have a strategy to maybe defend the numbers. I don't think they can rely fully on the one-on-ones. There's probably a few too many fours to put out, so I think they might have to rely on defending as one as such when they don't have the ball, and also attacking as one when they do have the ball. We know that their defenders can attack with menace. They've really good ball players going forward, and that can score. And if we can think about what Tomás has said, I think the kickouts tomorrow are going to be crucial more than ever, because I don't think anything can prepare Shane Ryan for the pressure and the push that Dublin are going to put on his kickouts as well. And I mean, if he just puts one askew, it's going to affect his confidence, and that's what Dublin rely on. That's their oxygen. They did annoy Morgan last year, and it was in the onion sack before he even looked around him. So that's huge. And on the flip side, then if Kerry can win midfield, if they can win that midfield battle and get their hands on the lion's share of possession, that's going to unlock the brilliant forward line that they have. And they did it against Mayo, where they took a wrecking ball to everything that Mayo did, and it was all about the front six, because David Moran was on fire that day. And I think that's going to be crucial. They have to at least break even in the middle of the park and then scrap like hell for everything that goes onto the ground, try to get possession and get it into their forwards as quick as possible, and just get their backs thinking, you know. So for me, the kick out and that midfield area is going to be crucial.
Yeah, we heard from the managers earlier on in the show, and you know, again, you listen to them on when they do the media days, and Peter Keane and Jim Gavin maybe don't reveal all, which is to be expected. What role do you see from the point of view of the Dubsen and Jim Gavin having? He's so much experience now at this level, at these types of matches. He doesn't want to speak about five. He talks about the process and the collective and the honour of the Dubs. But I'm sure he wants to become the first manager to go and lead a men's senior team to that as well.
Yeah, I'm sure that's something he'll probably look at in years to come. He strikes and having played with the guy as well. He lives in the moment. We certainly get that impression. Yeah, he doesn't know emotion. We know that too. But look, there's a couple of things that's, I suppose, that Dublin have to their advantage, and he's one of them. The culture that he's developed, it's a collective culture as well. I'm sure there's a lot of egos in that Dublin changing room, and he has managed them quite well. And in the past, maybe we didn't manage them as well. He has done that. So that's one. He is one big factor, and on the line, he's very, very calm. But on the other side of things, and he does say this, and it probably annoys everybody outside Dublin, that the players do take control of what's going on the pitch, and they make decisions on the pitch. So he operates within the framework of giving them the power to make decisions. So they won't be looking at him or Jason Sherlock to get a call. They'll actually make that on the pitch as well. And I think that's a great one to have in your locker going into any match. Yeah, as a player, you know, you're not relying on the manager. He's giving you that freedom. So into the mix as well, we haven't mentioned the free takers, you know. So Dean Rock, it hasn't come in anywhere in the narrative. In any other year, a free taker that can hit 8 or 9 points, or Sean O'Shea on the flip side, could be the difference, and we haven't even referenced those two. So that's a crucial. Both teams have two really good sets of forwards, so that's another one. But I think what Dublin have, maybe the advantage they have, is the ruthlessness they show coming down the home straight. They just seem to have clarity of thought. It doesn't affect them whether they're going for trying to get their second All-Ireland, the 3 in a row, the 4 in a row, or pushing for the five later on today. You'd expect them just to remain clear clear in their heads until the final whistle goes. And I think that's a little advantage they have. Kerry are going to get there. I think the age of Mayo is over and the age of Kerry has begun. And I mean the age of Kerry being the Dublin's greatest rivals for the next whatever amount of years, if Dublin can stay at the top. So they are going to get better and better, but I just think Dublin have that between the years, maybe that bit more ruthlessness on a final. But throw into the mix, there's a lot at stake here, and if Kerry can stay in the game and it's where you're on 60 minutes, does the pressure of the 5 in a row just start to seep into these players, you know? And if the crowd, you know, that's a big, if Kerry can get the Dublin crowd not on their backs, but you're definitely in Croke Park in a full house, you get a sense the crowd is going against you a little bit and you hear the groans. That's where Kerry want to be coming down the home straight.
And as Senator's mentioned there, a lot of the players in this Kerry team and in the Kerry team in the next couple of years will have come through the hands of Peter Keane as well. And again, he's looking forward to managing on a massive day at senior level at Croke Park, but he has been involved with a lot of these players over the years, and you know, in terms of his message to them, I'm sure it won't change too much.
No, but I suppose there is a big difference in managing a minor team in an All-Ireland final and managing a senior team in an All-Ireland final. You know, the build-up is completely different. The expectation is completely different. You have a full county, and Kerry is a football-mad county, and they will put pressure. And if things go wrong, and maybe badly wrong, dare I say it, it would be tough for Peter Keane after the game. And that's what you're dealing with. So there are a lot more pressures on him this year than there would be previous. But I suppose he will try to keep his players in that bubble and try to, you know, they have a process, and he said it himself this year that he's learned as the year has gone on, and there is no doubt that it's a learning curve for him as well. He brought in all his own squad of selectors, etc., and Maurice Fitz was joined with them as well as Donny Buckley. So that's the two major things. But look, it's a young team. 1975, Kerry came up and played at Dublin as All-Ireland champions, weren't expected to beat them. 5-1 outsiders, and they beat them, and that was the start of something special. Now, is it the same situation? I'm not sure. I don't think it is. I think that Dublin team is constantly evolving. You know, the team that started the 4 in a row 4 years ago is not the same now. You know, you might have 6-7 starters at most, probably. But I do think it's a huge challenge for Kerry, but at the same time, you'd be excited for them. And I think if they hit the ground running, I do think they'll run Dublin very close.
That's lastly, who's going to win?
To go on from what Tomasa said there, a shot to nothing. You know, maybe that's a bit too far-fetched, but maybe it is also for Kerry, a shot to nothing. The pressure's on Dublin going into this game here. I know the Kerry players want to protect the legacy of those great teams that have gone in the past. And the one thing, I suppose, that'll have the Kerry supporters feeling that this final is not a lost cause is that second half performance against Tyrone, where they were 5 points down and they managed to turn it around. And I think it was 113 to 9 points, the scoreline in the second half alone. So that means the football is in them if you can just get to that pitch again. The Tommy Walsh one, Tomás referenced earlier on, I'd agree with him there. I think Tommy Walsh has to come on when the game is in the melting pot there, shake it up. He'll unlock the I suppose the artistry of the two lads either side of him, Paul Geaney and David Clifford, and also the pace of Stephen O'Brien. So that could be a different game, an emphasis changer there if they're still in the match on 50 minutes. But I just think because of what the experience that Dublin have, and purely for that reason alone, the experience they have in All-Ireland final and you know the players that they have. And again, in reference to what Tomás has said, it's the young to mid-20s, it's the early to mid-20s are the ones that are driving us forward. So Howard and Scully and Mannion and O'Callaghan, it's not about the Brogans and McMenamins and all these. They've got experience in spades over the last couple of years, and I think that might be enough in All-Ireland finally.
Tomás, your prediction, please.
Yeah, look, I suppose from the outset and from the start of the year, I have worried from 9 back. We've a rookie goalie. I've no doubt that they're young, and I've no doubt that they'll improve, and I've no doubt this experience will be massive for them. But I still worry on the one-on-one. I worry that if Dublin have enough possession, that they will inevitably crack this Kerry defence, and that the quality they have up front will trouble Kerry, because Kerry will need a lot of possession to actually win this game. They'll need to take all the chances that they get. They'll need to convert every chance they get, and it's just everything is pointing towards Dublin. Would have to take something special. It would have to take an off day for Dublin, and would have to Kerry coming out on top in some key battles that I haven't seen in years happening. So I would probably say that Kerry will push them, but I can see the Dubs winning by 2 or 3.
Last, thanks a million. Enjoy the game.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks,
team.
Yeah, that is Kerry legend Tomás O'Shea and Senan Connell, former Dubs, speaking to me yesterday at a Benetti menswear event in Dublin. Yes, and we're going to hear from Charlie Redmond, who's on the line in just a second. But our final Dublin guest from a playing point of view is Johnny Cooper, who's been telling Maura Trasny-Kellig what exactly will be on his headphones on the way to Croker on the bus today, and what he'll be thinking ahead of this final against Kerry.
Just the headphones are on. I'm just thinking of how much I look forward to getting out and running down to the pitch, all the work, the months or the years and so on, and in some strange ways thinking of people, not necessarily specifically people themselves, but just thinking of the groups of people that have helped get me to that point. So that's important for me in terms of, in my own head anyway, maybe not out loud, but in my own head, showing gratitude to people that helped me get to that point, and having a really genuine excitement to run out onto the pitch and hopefully do a job in terms of the homework I've done to that point, but hopefully do a job in terms of executing and staying to script as best we can.
Before I let you go, I have to ask you then, what's on the playlist and the headphones?
Very heavy dance music or something very high tempo and upbeat. Not as high tempo as it used to be, because it used to be right over the edge, but I found my point now that works. But yeah, something upbeat, and nothing in particular, but something upbeat.
So like a Coppers playlist?
Something kind of like that. Not as cheesy maybe, but something like that, yeah.
This is 98FM's Now That's What I Call Sport All-Ireland Football Final Special with Jamie Moore.
Yes, and I'm sure the Dubs might be listening to some dancey playlist music in Coppers tonight if they can win that fifth All-Ireland football title in a row. Now, a winner with the Dubs in 95 and a regular here in the That's What I Call Sport, Charlie Redmond is on the line, our final guest on this morning's two-hour special, which is going to finish at 11 a.m. Charlie, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Jamie.
Charlie, your overall views and mood ahead of this final later on, please.
Well, I have to admit, as the game draws closer, I'm getting a little bit more nervous, because, you know, history sort of is staring us in the face, and they use an old sort of saying from history. I think Tony Blair used it. I can feel the hand of history on our shoulder. But listen, it's going to be a great game. The Kerry are a wonderful football team. They have a great tradition in their county, and for them to, if they're to win today, to stop Dublin or deprive Dublin doing the five in a row would be like them indeed doing five in a row. Like, we know when Offaly defeated Kerry in 1982, that team was still revered throughout all GAA. Everyone remembers Seamus Starr. We always remember Matt O'Connor and Michael Furlong. So if Kerry are to win today, those lads will probably be as well known as Jack O'Shea and Shawnee Walsh and Pat Spillane. That is the level of pressure that Kerry players are under today. And indeed Dublin. If Dublin lose today, they've achieved four in a row. So I think all the pressure is actually on Kerry as opposed to being on Dublin, albeit that Kerry will be coming up with a very young team, and usually a young team are fearless. They don't feel the nerves. For a lot of the guys, it's their first All-Ireland final, and I'm sure they'll be able to enjoy it. And there's no doubt they have the talent to upset Dublin today, albeit I think they won't.
Charlie, how easy have you found it to go from being a Dublin player to a Dublin fan and, of course, a pundit? And when you were at Croker later on, you mentioned you're feeling nerves now. And when you were a player, you had, you know, control over what would happen because you were playing on the pitch. But now you've none. How do you find that? And, you know, like probably the other 50 or 60,000 Dublin fans. Well, I suppose maybe 40,000, some neutrals, and then the 12,000 Kerry fans. But us Dublin fans, we've no control over what goes on the pitch, unfortunately.
No, and I've grown used to it since 20 years since I stopped playing. But yeah, I must admit, in the first few years when I left, I found it very difficult, albeit again that we weren't being very successful. And I had a sort of weaning in period of 2002, we won the Leinster again. And of course, we for the last 8 years, we've just been on a roller coaster of a ride. And mostly it's been, you know, on an upward curve. And today, it'll continue, I think, on an upward curve. I think the matchups today are going to be huge. You see which defenders take which forwards, and even the team selection today will be. I know you called out the Kerry team there. I'm hearing some words last night that Barry might start in midfield, and maybe Spillane might not start, or either Spillane might not start in the corner. So if Tommy Walsh plays up front. Now, Dublin will have the contingency plans made that if Tommy Walsh plays, if Barry plays, and there's no doubt it won't catch Dublin by surprise. But it'll be interesting to see the Dublin thing even line out as named, because Jim has a tendency to not play the team that's changed, because he always tries to hold back something to confuse the opposition if that's possible. And it'll be interesting to see exactly when they line up, who lines up.
Yeah, we spoke earlier on as well to Senan Connell and Tomás O'Shea about some of those other key battles. That'll be all in our podcast of our full All-Ireland show just after 11 a.m. Charlie, the experience of Jim Gavin in these games, and of course he's looking to lead the Dubs to another All-Ireland title as well. What do you think, having been a player with him back in 95 and before, will the last words he'll say to his players be before they go out for their warm-up and ultimately the game today?
Well, let's say what he's saying, what he said today is what he said for the last four All-Irelands and what he said at the last four games so far in this championship. I mean, he'd just be, everything is routine with Jim. Everything is the same. Nothing has changed. And if something has changed, it's changed for the better. So I can't see an awful lot being different from what happened in the semi-final, what's happened in the final. He remained calm, as we always see on the field. Whether he's like that inwardly, I don't know. I'd imagine he is. But he's a very pensive character. And I'm sure he'll have thought long and hard about what he's going to say, and should he introduce something new, or will he just go with the old tried and trusted? And I imagine he might go with the old tried and trusted, but often in a case like this, he might throw something new, just something new in there, just to freshen things up slightly. But yeah, it'll be the same thing as always. It'll be the, you know, make sure we get our possessions right, make sure we get our movement right, make sure when we get the opportunity, we take the opportunity, and make sure we mark tight. Let's try and stop getting the ball in from deep, as they try to do against Tyrone, because that will be the difference in style today, I believe. That against Tyrone, we saw Kerry for the first time in an awful long time hit long ball in with great success into that full forward line. It's to continue to do that today, where we have to make sure that our full backs are out in front and marking very tightly. Dublin tend to be more possessive, and they sort of move the ball through movement and through breaking lines to get through those lines and create the opportunity. So it'll be an interesting tactics today to see what accrues and who wins that battle on the sideline.
Yeah, and just on Jim Gavin, Charlie, you played with him as well, and you know when he speaks to the media, he's very much, you know, with his poker face on and talks about the process and the honour of playing for Dublin and how important it is to the players, etc, etc, etc. Is he any different in private, and even maybe with the players or around the staff, you know, because he never seems to want to give himself any credit. He gives his players all this credit too, but he has been the man who's been behind this, and again, if you mention the word five to him, he almost, you know, tries to trip you up because he just doesn't want to answer it. But if he does become the first senior inter-county manager to lead a men's football team to this, surely, you know, he has to have thought about it and speak in private about it.
Well, yeah, I would imagine Jim, you know, he keeps his thoughts right up to himself, and I'm sure when he opens up, he'll only open up to people who he trusts impeccably, and maybe his close family. So I would imagine that, listen, you can't get away from what's happening. You can't get away that five in a row was on the line today. No matter what Jim Tryon said, it's on the line. And while he had kept the conversation with the Dublin team and kept that word out of all conversations with the Dublin team, you can't get away from it. It's like the elephant in the room. The boys and themselves, even though they may not have talked about it, they will have thought about it. And but listen, it's a game of football. That's what he'll be impressing on them. It's a game of football. It's an All-Ireland final. Just because it's the five in a row, or just because it is an All-Ireland final, doesn't make anyone jump any higher, run any faster, or kick any longer. It'll be the same thing as the last day. Just keep it the same. Keep to our game plan. Do what we do. Do well. Keep running forward, breaking the lines, taking opportunities, making options up front. And if we keep doing that, well, we'll create an awful lot of problems for the opposition, and hopefully cause them more problems than they cause us.
Yeah, now I can't wait for about 20 past three today when the warm-ups are done and the players line up and they do the national anthems, and then they go on the parade where they march around the pitch, particularly when they go past Hill 16, Charlie. I remember for the semi-final a few weeks ago, and I've been at loads of Dubs games working at them and as a fan, and I still get goosebumps on the back of my neck when I see Hill 16 full and the blue flares and the players walking past them, and then they'll jump into their huddle and they'll have their last words among themselves. In your own experience, yeah. And you know, I'm sure you've worked with and you know a lot of these players, individually, what do they be thinking when they're actually walking around that parade, national anthem, when it's that 5-6 minutes just before the first ball is thrown in?
Yeah, it's funny, like, I'm listening to Johnny Cooper just there talking about the humility of the man. It just sort of astounds me about the people who got him to this point, his trainers in the senior from juvenile all the way through, I'm sure, in his thoughts. And he said he's thankful for them, not just himself. And I thought that was a great thing to say. When you're going around in the parade, you're focused on the game. You basically, what I would try and do is just look at the guy in front of me, number 12 or number 14 would be McAlvin or Jail, and I just look at their back and just keep thinking of the game and just walk on. And it's funny, but, or ironic, as I'd say, when when you're growing up as a young child and you're watching Keaveney and Mullins and all the boys playing at Crow Park and Anton O'Toole and David Hickey, and you see them marching behind the Darktown Boys band and Micheál O'Hare that's doing the commentary, you hope one day, oh, I want to do that, I want to do that. And when you achieve it, when you do it, you never want to do it again, because you actually want to just get the game underway. You want to get all the peripheries of the game all the way aside, and you want to get the ball thrown in. You want to get into action. So it's an amazing contrast or paradox, I should say, between wanting it and then when you've done it, you don't want it ever happen again. So listen, these boys have done it so many times in the past that they'll know what to do. They'll be talking to one another. It's actually quite difficult, actually, because they get onto the field at about 3:05. And the game doesn't start till 3:30, and you've got to do all the parade. You've got to meet the president, and you have to do your warm up and get all the things done. And I mean, it's not like an ordinary game of football. Like if you go and play for your club, you're out on the pitch about 10-15 minutes before throw in, and you're ready to go. This is a completely different entity, and while our boys are used to it, I'm sure the Kerry boys will be used to it as well, and them having already played in All-Ireland finals. I still think it goes on. It's a little bit protracted, and it should be shortened somewhat.
Yeah, and I'm on our 98FM roster tomorrow, Charlie, to be at the Dubs Team Hotel and also to go with the team to Temple Street Children's Hospital with the Sam Maguire if they win it. So I hope that happens, because I love the morning after a Dublin win and the players coming in from the night out and, you know, taking some time to spend it with the sick kids in Temple Street and probably other kids' hospitals as well. And hopefully that'll be the case. And Charlie, if it is the case, Dublin will win. What is your prediction, please, sir?
Well, I see the spread in the bookies is Dublin by 6. I don't think Dublin win by more than 6 points. I hope they do. Because I'm going to make the last few minutes a little easier on us. But I think Dublin more so will win by about between 3 and 5 points. Now, Kerry coming into this game, the game is very sort of reflective also of the 2011 game, where Dublin were the complete underdogs and Kerry were red-hot favourites. And Dublin's mentality that day was just stay in the game, stay with them, be on their coattails with 5 minutes to go, and with 5 minutes to go, let's see what happens. And we know what happened then. That Dublin got a bit of a sore jaw, Kevin McMillan, and points from Bernard, and then Cluxton in the end, and Kevin Nolan, and we got over the line. And that's exactly the mentality that Kerry will bring to this game today. So it's important, I think, for Dublin, with 5 minutes to go, to be a little bit further ahead than 3 points. I think we need to be about 4 or 5, because there's no doubt at the end of the game Kerry are going to push on. Hopefully we won't be too far away for them to bridge the gap, but anyone who thinks that this is going to be an easy stroll today, I think they're in for a rude awakening. This is going to be a roller coaster of a game. There's going to be ups and downs. There's going to be times in this game when we're under the hammer, and the times in this game we have Kerry under the hammer. So be prepared, and what I would say to all the Dublin supporters out there is get behind the boys, particularly when they're down, when they need a shout. Give a big one out for the boys in blue, and we can be that 16th man today, and we and the 15 guys and all the guys in the sideline can get the job done, hopefully.
Oh yeah, great. So great words, Charlie Rebben. Thanks a million as always. Enjoy the game, and up the Dubs.
Stay on, Jamie.
Now we're going to leave our final words on And That's What I Call Sport on our 2-hour All-Ireland Football Final special this Sunday with some fans, some players and some coaches. Now 98FM's Luke Dixon from Dublin talks with Adrian Kennedy and Jeremy Dixon Monday to Friday between 10 a.m. and midday. Every Friday he brings the lads his Good News Friday, and he's given me his permission exclusively, he's only 4, that we can play his Good News on No That's What I Call Sport this Sunday to wish our boys in blue the best of luck. Luke, take it away.
Let's get down to business this Sunday. The drive for 5 is on. Come on, Dublin. You can do it. I'll be watching the match with my mum and dad. Kerry, you're not taking the summer anywhere. It's staying at home in Dublin. Although I do like the colour of your jersey, because green is my favourite colour. But I'm a true blue this weekend. Up the Dubs.
Ah, Luke, thanks very much. Up the Dubs is right. That is it for another week on That's What I Call Sport. Thank you very much to all of our guests on our 2-hour All-Ireland Football Final special. We heard from Jim Gavin, Peter Keane, plus some Kerry players, Paddy Andrews as well. And then we finished on the All-Ireland with Tomás Quinn, Aidan O'Mahony, Richard Dunn joined us too, Senan Connell, Tomás O'Shea, Johnny Cooper and Charlie Redmond. A full podcast with all of those guests will be available in the podcast section of 98FM.com just after 11 a.m. We can't wait to be at Croke Park today. I'll have updates on 98FM from 2:30 onwards every half an hour. And hopefully it'll be 5 All-Ireland titles for Dublin. Thanks, of course, to Ciarán Halpin and Nathan Whelan behind the scenes, as always, for their work. Ciarán, you're ready to go and ready to cheer on the Dubs.
Yeah, come on, you boys in blue.
Yeah, we're going to leave you with the words of the men who'll be taking the field at Croker today. Good luck, Dubs. See you. Bye-bye.
I certainly wouldn't believe that this is the team that's developing. This is the team that's on their game. And we're going to have to be on our game to compete with them in the final.
If you're anywhere near a Kerry panel, you can be sure you have football in you. So the question is just getting it out of them, and that's what they're getting out on the field.
Croke Park is a special place, playing with Dublin, and the opportunity just to play with this team, it's a special group to be a part of.
Yeah, really good time. Nice to, I guess, be there again. Loads to learn, loads to do, but certainly a really good time to be involved.
Dublin are there for a reason. 4 in a row, going for 5. Not many teams get to go for 5 in a row, so they deserve all the credit they do.
The well wishes from people and just the general sense of excitement around the place is great.
Look, we found ourselves in a final, and we'll hope for the best.
From any perspective, a Dublin or Kerry perspective, and you'd imagine from a neutral perspective, it's the one everyone's looking for. And I suppose there's so much in this final as well this week. And
but if you're looking, if you put all the cards together, you kind of say it's favoured Dublin, but I'm just hoping that Kerry might do it by a point.
There's a nervousness amongst people because of the fact, I suppose, that everyone's expecting Dublin to win, and there is something, there's an allure about winning 5 in a row, and we're all afraid that that's going to seep into the players.
It's going to be a tough ask of Kerry to come up today and to beat the Dubs. You know, a fantastic team, but they're a young team. And, you know, they'll need a lot of things to go right for them.
Now that's what I call sport.